Chapter 6 Salver Hardin did not travel to the planet Anacreon, from which planet the kingdom derived its name, immediately. It was only on the day before the coronation that he arrived, after having made flying visits to 8 of the larger stellar systems of the kingdom, stopping only long enough to confer with the local representatives of the Foundation. The trip left him with an oppressive realization of the vastness of the kingdom. It was a little splinter, an insignificant fly speck compared to the inconceivable reaches of the Galactic Empire, of which it had once formed so distinguished a part. But to one whose habits of thought had been built around a single planet, and a sparsely settled one at that, Anacreon's size in area and population was staggering. Following closely the boundaries of the old prefect of Anacreon, it embraced 25 stellar systems, 6 of which included more than one habitable world. The population of 19 billion, though still far less than it had been in the Empire's heyday, was rising rapidly with the increasing scientific development fostered by the Foundation. And it was only now that Hardin found himself floored by the magnitude of that task. Even in 30 years, only the capital world had been powered. The outer provinces still possessed immense stretches where atomic power had not yet been reintroduced. Even the progress that had been made might have been impossible had it not been for the still workable relics left over by the ebbing tide of empire. When Hardin did arrive at the capital world, it was to find all normal business at an absolute standstill. In the outer provinces, there had been and still were celebrations. But here on the planet Anacreon, not a person but took feverish part in the hectic religious pageantry that heralded the coming of age of their god-king Leopold. Hardin had been able to snatch only half an hour from a haggard and harried Verisov before his ambassador was forced to rush off to supervise still another temple festival. But the half-hour was a most profitable one, and Hardin prepared himself for the night's fireworks, well satisfied. In all, he acted as an observer, for he had no stomach for the religious tasks he would undoubtedly have had to undertake if his identity became known. So when the palace's ballroom filled itself with a glittering horde of the kingdom's very highest and most exalted nobility, he found himself hugging the wall, little noticed or totally ignored. He had been introduced to Leopold as one of a long line of introducees, and from a safe distance, for the king stood apart in lonely and impressive grandeur, surrounded by his deadly blaze of radioactive aura. And in less than an hour, this same king would take his seat upon the massive throne of rhodium-iridium alloy with jewel-set gold chasings, and then throne and all would rise majestically into the air, skim the ground slowly to hover before the great window from which the great crowds of common folk could see their king and shout themselves into near apoplexy. The throne would not have been so massive, of course, if it had not had an atomic motor built into it.